be with the love even for a short time. That may be the main reason for all these children, to accentuate that sense of loss. It's a loss that you have. It's a loss that others who had the opportunity to sit at his feet have to do tshuva for. They owe themselves some kind of explanation, why not? It's a loss that you have. It's a loss that others who had the opportunity to sit at his feet have to do tshuva for. They owe themselves some kind of explanation, why not? I had the schus to study with the Rav for many years, and possibly among the very few who learned with him strange things. I had the schus to study with him Shir HaShirim, Mor Nevuchim, Horius, and I think possibly some here joined me in studying with him Moed Katan, one of his beloved Mesechtes. He used to say beloved because it was a Mesechta written by Chachomim. All Nehugi Avelus of the Rabbonim. And therefore it's possible to try to creep into the mind of Chazal and try to understand the structure of halacha. It's not easy to do that when you begin with the Raisis. I'd like to begin the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Capital Aleph, Hinoch Yofa Rayosi, Hinoch Yofa Inayach Yonim. Comes the Sforno on this pasuk and says as follows: Hine ata eincho tzricho leoso ofen gilu shchina beyoso sumovsim kimeyoz. Interprets this pasuk as a plaint, exactly actually what one of the tributaries that led into the Yama Talmud of the Rav, the Netziv, interprets it in his Perush on Shir HaShirim, a plaint. Our life could be so much easier if Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'd show yourself. Give me one little Kriyas Yam Suf, one a little Makas Mitzrayim, and how easy it'll be for us to accept Kadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. And Shlomo HaMelech answers in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, looking for Nisim Neflos, why? Hine kvar osisich yofe b'nesinas ha-Torah v'amitzvos asher kosavti lahoros b'mofsim sichliim. Who needs miracles? I've given you the intellectual magic of the Torah. If that's not enough for you, nothing's going to help. You think you need to prove God's existence with a Kriyas Yam Suf? What's wrong with Pshat in the Tosfos? That's what the Rav says on this pasuk. Good Pshat in the Tosfos. If you understand Pshat, you know it came from Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have a Gilu Shechina. You don't need any more proof. What a wondrous statement. Mofsim Sichliim. If I could sum up what we recall of the Rav, was just that. In those days, we prepared well for the Rav Shiur. He frightened us, as I'm sure other speakers have commented. He was Matil Moro B'Talmidim. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Ein Aschchina Shora Ele Mitoch Dva Simcha, Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Rav Yehuda says, Bechein Ledvar Halocha. Nor as Eini, Rav Toras Kol Talmid Chocham Sheyoshi Lefnei Rabo, V'yein Siv Sosov Notzos Mor Tichvena, as it says in Shir Hashirim, Siv Sosov Shonat Shoshanim Notzos Mor Over, Al Tikri Mor Over, Ele Mar Over. And Rashi comments, Mevigus, when you study Torah, it should be bitter, Machmas Emo, because you sit in fear of the Rav. You were afraid to come to Shurim. You wouldn't think of not coming to Shurim. But afraid, they'll call on you, and then after a while, afraid he wouldn't call on you, which would be the greatest insult of all. Because it meant he didn't expect much of you. It was those he insulted that somehow were looked upon as the leaders of the group, the Aroyo Shibachabura, because the Rav insulted them regularly. How strange lashonos he had. Anyone who didn't grow up as I did in a little European town called the Lower East Side of New York would not even understand his language. It's classic Rebbe curse words that a Rebbe told the Talmud off. You're a Hunna b'nei Odom. Who knows what that means? But we knew what it meant. Couldn't translate it for you. The springs via Turk. I don't know how a Turk jumps, but you jump like a Turk. These were classic languages of a Rebbe Talmud. Everyone got from the Rav what he deserved. By that I mean, we were given our own measure of Torah, limited by our own individual abilities and diligence. As indeed, again, the Netziv says in Shir Hashirim, Chiko mamtakim v'kulu machmadim zedodi v'zarei v'nos Yerushalayim. The Netziv says, Bola lamdenu she'en hamesikus magia l'chol maskel aleihem b'shoveh. Chiko mamtakim, all kinds of candies. Different flavors. Kalecha toim l'fikocho v'daito. Ki de'isa b'medrash rabo v'perchash yisro kol Hashem b'koach. Bekocho lo nemar, ela bekoach, bekocho shel kol ocher be'echad. Each one got what he deserved from the Rav. Some walked away with a lot of yedias, because the Rav, although known as a chorif, pumped into a shir such a composite that each sugya was a tour of shas. Some were impressed with the Bikiyus and remembered the Gemaras that the Rav associated. And some waited for that final streak of lightning, the Chidush that the Rav wanted to say. And you could tell the Rav's Chidushim easily. He always said it at least 10 times, in 10 different ways, to make sure you understood exactly what he meant. As you know, the Rav was infatuated with language. He used to say, God made us a talking animal, we're medabrim. In this week's Sedra, Emo v'amarto, Imros Hashem Tahoros. Words themselves have a sanctity, have a holiness. Maybe that's why he so easily mastered so many languages. His English was better than our English. His Yiddish was supposedly, I can't be a maven, Yiddish was a mother tongue for me, but mine was a peasant Yiddish. His was an aristocratic Yiddish. German is German, supposedly was German like no one else spoke German from the days of the classicists. He respected words and made use of words the way they were intended to clarify ideas. Those who study with the Rav learned to say Al Tegamgem Betomalo, without mumbling, without hedging. Either you have what to say, you say it, or don't say it at all. The Rav was quoted in several obituaries in the secular press. I've heard it said by some of his Talmidim too, in their Hespedim, I never imposed my will on my students. He was a democratic Rebbe. Indeed, he did not, but neither did Kadosh Baruch Hu impose his will upon us at Maimed Har Sinai. The coercion of Kof Aleihem Har Kigigis was just that God was there, the Gilu Shechina, who could not accept. Didn't need a mountain on my head. When you have Kolu Sebrokim Onan Kovid Alahor, I have to tell you, you better listen or else. And so it was with the Rav. Omrol of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uziel, the Gemara in Sukkot Daf Chav Ches says, I remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Uziel was the Godol Shebekulam of the Talmidim of Hillel HaZoke. B'shor sheyoshev b'Torah kol of haporeach all of Nisrof. It doesn't have a literal meaning. They say a chilik na litvak and a chosid is how he learned pshat in his Gemara, or rather his reaction to this Gemara. A chosid said, uyu yoy, the kedusha of Rabbi Yonus. Kolof poach Nisrof. A good litvak asks, chotzi nezek or nezek sholei? The pshat here, Tosfos says, he only means to say a simple thing. Shadvorim smechim kinisinosam besinai. It's an expression. Of poech, meaning the fire you sensed was the fire at Maimon Har Sinai. What does that mean? It means an absolute conviction that you heard the truth. You want to know whether he imposed his will on Talmidim? I can give you some personal examples. He surely imposed his will on Talmidim. Not because he would say, you do like I tell you, because no one else knows Pshat, I'm the only one. But when we left the Rav Shir on any topic, we were convinced no one else knows Pshat, only the Rav. And now we know. And we know better than anybody else. I'll give you a little personal example, and my son Rav Mordechai is here. I used to attend the Friday so-called big shir of my shver zatzal. Shver had this custom saying little shirim every day, and Friday, it's a composite shir. He was up all night, Thursday night, preparing every Thursday night, and when he got there, he would put his face in his notes and read chalil v'chas, not to make a mistake, because this was the summation shir, summation of the whole week's work. When I was learning here with the Rav Bava Basra, that year, Shrel was learning Bava Basra at Sefer Yerushalayim. And on Friday, I'd come into the Shir. And after the Shir, by then, at that time, I was not a Chosn yet. At that time, I had a little more chutzpah than today, a little younger. And when the Shrel got through with the Shir, I'd go over to him to ask a few things, basically telling him that I know Pshat, because I just heard it from the Master. I heard it from the Rav. Years later, my Shrel said to me one day, sitting at my table, he doesn't understand how in America I was able to grow up with such a festkeit, such certitude, that I was right. And I remember telling him then, it was the Rav said so. The Rav said so, it had to be right. We all grew up with that utter conviction. There was no doubt in our minds that whatever the Rav said was right. The Rav, as you know, never paskin shilas, really never did. He paskin shilas, but he never really did. Mimi never sat down to Paskin Shad. You can catch him in a hallway and ask him something, he'd answer. But he didn't have his relationship with Talmidim. You come there to ask shaylas from him. But when it came to Pshat and a piece of Gemara, no one else knew Pshat but the Rav. And consequently, when he did say something lahalocha, it was binding on any Talmud there. I'll give you, again, a personal example. I built the first Erev, communal Erev in America. I don't carry in my Erev. No one is fumer than me. Why? Because I learned Shabbos with the Rav. And the Rav said the Ramban was wrong. That an Erev of Dalet Surah Sapesach is wrong, you have to pass like the Rambam. You need at least two mechitzas. And all Eruvim nowadays are, basically all Eruvim are Dalet Surah Sapesach. I looked upon that as a neder, Nihatolos Nedorim. The Rav said so. For years before I thought of becoming a Rav, I conducted myself, not using any Eruv, because the Rav said, all Eruvim are no good unless it has the qualifications of a Rambam Eruv, not a Ramban Eruv. He never told me you must accept the Rambam. But in Shir, he said the Ramban was wrong and the Rambam was right, you have no choice. In fact, my son Rav Mordechai is busy trying to construct an Erev in my community which should meet the standards of the Rambam, so he should be able to carry. I most likely won't carry anyway. I carry only in time of emergency. I made that reservation. Someone asked me what emergency is. I forgot my Russian notes at home. My sons attended here Yeshiva College. They did not take the compulsory art course because the art course took into its curriculum church art. And the Rav had said, I remember, I don't know how it came about, but someone had asked the Shaila. He said, the ladies' league cannot go to the opera because at that opera, an actor carries a cross, a tzelem, across the stage. And it's also lahabit el atzelem. Halacha lamaisa. You don't go to any place where there's church art. No one was machmir an isur avodah zarah like the Rav. There was no chosid like the Rav. He was sure of all his halachas, and some of them were at variance with the other people conducted themselves, but never kulu chumra. All I ever heard of the Rav, from the Rav, halacha lemaisa, and I heard much of his halacha lemaisa, with rare exceptions, were only chumras. The Rav was a briska, and briska has an affinity for chumras. There's a kedushas hachayim that he exuded, which required viskadishtem v'isim kedoshim b'muto lachem, but for others was muto, for him was not. Try to recover the Talmidim here, try to focus in what are the big things that I have to give Hodor to the Rav for what he did for us. There was tremendous influence he had in our lives. You can't spend, I think I spent 8 years in Shir and Baruch Hashem, all the years thereafter in contact with him. He expressed the axioms of Torah truths and no one else could. Let me give you an example. He was able to sum up what is the difference. Not me Yehudi, I don't recall ever speaking to him about me Yehudi. But Mahu Yadus, he would always comment on. Not who is a Jew, but who is Jewish. That he knew clear. He would say the conservatives are not Jewish. Because of two things. They don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. That's obvious. Everyone knows that. But two, he had his... This, I think, was his ikar. They do not believe in the halachic process. He had clear in his mind, sure, there's change that occurs as halacha interacts with society. But any change that occurs is through a halachic process. He would say the conservatives cite Puzbul, we made a change. Kind of a bad example, it's not true. There was no change in Puzbul. In the Shemitah years coming up, whatever Puzbul did, we could have done before Hillel. Moshe Shehoseh Lebezdin is no big Chiddush. It was available before. You can make a Tanai, Almanashe, Shemitah, Lotish Metena, as you learned in Ksubis. We have no problems. We had no problems avoiding the law of Shavuos. Didn't need Hillel to teach us how. He worked out a technique which is useful. A Puzbul, one star, instead of giving all your shtars to Bezdin, Shlomazel would lose it. He gave him one star as a receipt for all the shtars you have. But he said, who cares? They have no halachic process. Remember when the tumult was going on then in our early years, they wanted a ksuvah that would self-destruct the marriage. Right? A ksuvah which made a kedushin al tanai. If they won't listen to the chachomim, such chachomim as we had, that they would then abolish or annul the kedushin. And he would say, fine, and I said, I read what they said. He says, good, hefker besen hefker, called it the Mekadesh, I don't want to Mekadesh, he says, but tell me, and how will they manage to mevatel the kedushin if they slept together once? Did they ever stop to think whether any bezin bezman hazeh who has the koyach, possibly the koyach of hefker bezin hefker, may exist today in dini mominis? But afkin rabon lekedushin minei to make it biloso bilaznus? I never heard of any bezin having that power from the time of Sanhedrin on. There's a halachic process. We ain't got that protocol. It doesn't exist by us. So what are they talking about? He never published these things, but these were the comments that would roll off his tongue. Davar poshut. He was not an adversary personality. Didn't take them on in print. Never wrote this thing. He should have. But others have wrote. You know how strongly he felt when he paskin, which has been quoted widely, you stay home and miss Kiyah Shofar rather than daven in a shul that identifies itself with any ism, any hyphenated Judaism. Why? Because they're not Jewish. I don't know, mi Yehudi, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu will determine. Mahu Yadus, that he told us, we know what it is. But the halachic process is one that unfortunately is violated today by the right as well as the left. Let me explain. The halachic process involves you should not say chachomim b'limada nevonim b'vlihaskel ki rov maseim tohu. I'm sure others have commented on the stand of Toru Mada. I know Rav Lam did in his Hesped. Let me tell you, I grew up with the Rav in Toru Mada. I'll tell you what Toru Mada is. And Toru Mada means just what it says. Torah and the knowledge to apply Torah to your daily life. That's what Mada is. The Yeda of Torah, so that Torah does not remain medieval Jewish law, but can be applied halacha lemaisa in every aspect of your human experience. Torah is Horor, and Mada is the knowledge that allows you to apply the rules of Horor, the halachic process, to your daily life. That's all. The Rav would boast, and I say it again, he would boast People thought it was humility. That was not humility. That was egoism. I'm a Malamed meant I have the right to teach Torah to another generation. I know how. Why? Because I made the effort to take my Torah and link it to a Mada necessary to teach Torah. Give you an example. I'm teaching in the 4th Yismicha these Thursdays, Hagolas Kalim. So we're up to Gaida tomorrow, we'll be talking about Libun and Klis Chufis. Klis Chufis, boys who are in Shir will recall, some big tumul in Klis Chufis, the Gabi Tzvilas Kalim. Big tumul Gabi Hagolas Kalim too. Machaber says, Klis Chufis, glass, ain't no bolea. That's how most of the poskim that I know, that I respect, paskim, my shver paskim that way, all the gedolei poskim paskim that way. A bunch of poskim came in, no, kli shkuch is like kli cheres, you can't kasher it. I grew up with a halachic process that said, yes, for Pesach, for Machmer, that's kli cheres. For the whole year, kli shkuch is eino boleya. Fine, there's a gemara that says, something that sounds something like that, that is maybe not proper to be magil, but most of the later achonim interpreted the more as similar to the shitas haritva, because the chayshin and dilma paki, that you're afraid you won't be magil properly because glass is fragile. Comes along Mitzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg, Shlita in Yerushalayim, which doesn't bother me. But comes along Chevre, who trains in our yeshiva, Torah Mada, and conclude, and quotes it's Eliezer, and conclude, you can't be magil klischuchis, klischuchis is bolea. Why? Because it's it's Eliezer said, I quote, Roin sha'amivne sholehem shonuhu b'tachlis me'amivne shol schuchis regila. That Pyrex and Duralex, you certainly can't kasha, because its structure is different than that of glass. What does that possibly mean? Which mada are you talking about? What mada does he know that allowed him to make that distinction between the structure of plain glass and the structure of Pyrex glass? All you need is a little bit of knowledge to know that all glass at the time of the Talmud was Pyrex, not regular glass. Because the sand of Israel is borosilicate sand, and the only difference between Pyrex and plain glass is whether you use silicate or borosilicate. So happens Kodesh Baruch Hu put borosilicate sand in Eretz Yisrael, so any glass made from their sand must be Pyrex. There's no excuse for someone who claims to understand what Torah Umado means not to have made the effort to find the Mada upon which the Torah is based. If not, comes out false Torah. That's what the Rav would say to me. He said, what I spent years in Berlin, he said, I read, I heard, I was able to understand where Torah has to speak. That's the language he used. Avu dafmin medayik zayin. Where do you have to put the emphasis? Where is there a lack of Torah, thought, Torah constructs that you have to add? Because there is vacuum. There is tohu. And God abhors vacuum. He wants to fill it with Torah. Lo sohu b'ro, lo sheves yitzorah. His emphasis on the halachic process, which really meant emunas chazal. The Torah didn't get to us by skipping over generations, but went through generations. Well, how did they handle the Torah? That's called the halachic process. Without that halachic process, Torah becomes a new creation for each generation. What keeps it Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah is because each one leaned on the back of the one before. He says, that's what's wrong says with the conservative movement, they have nobody that comes before. Everything starts with them now. But I believe his greatest contribution was that he let us share an authoritative Masorah, a Masorah of Volozhin and Brisk, of Reb Chaim Brisker and the Beis Halevi, which no one in the world had except him. Everybody likes to think that, oh yes, once Reb Chaim Brisker introduced the analytical method of Torah study, now that's standard in all yeshivas. No greater insult can you deliver to Reb Chaim Brisker than to think that his Torah is now in the other yeshivas. What the Rav did was introduce us to the giants of Torah, which were his ancestors. No one else had the Besorah. All could but imitate, and bad, bad imitations they were. There's a yeshivish apocryphal story that goes about, I don't know how true it is, but it says it very nicely. Supposedly the Beis Yosef was struggling on Akasha for many weeks, and finally satisfied himself, he worked out the difficulty. That night he came to the Beis Medrash and he heard two carpenters who would meet after work to learn Bechavrusa. One asked his kasha and the other one gave the teretz right away. And it bothered him very much. How could it be that he struggled so long till he finally found the teretz, and this Balabos, Talmud Chacham, just taps it off like this. He went to ask his old Rebbe, what's happened? Is he failing? Did he miss something? And the Rebbe answered him, you don't understand. Once you worked out the teretz, you brought the teretz down from heaven. Once it's down, anybody can say the same thing. But someone has to bring it down from heaven. You brought it down to heaven with your Haravanya by working. Once it's down, any carpenter can give the same teretz. That's what the Rav did. He brought the Brisker Torah down, it was in heaven, no one had it. And now, we also think we can give our Brisker teretz, Chiyav Gavre, Chiyav Chepze, snap, you roll it off your tongue, agonished. But the Rav brought it down from heaven. Morin Sukkah says, Omro lov, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this kodosh among kodoshim, miyomo v'lo soch sichas chulin, for holach dal ramos v'lo Torah v'lo tfilin. But Omro lov, I'm skipping a little bit, shlohiniach, he didn't fail to master everything. Tzkufus, Sugamatrius, Sichas Malachi Ashores, Sichas Shedim, Sichas Dekolim, Misholos Kofsim, Bishuolim, even fairy tales, all to be able to teach Torah properly. Rashi says, Kulam Nosan Libo Behem Tam, Ubimei Amoroim Nishtakhu. Already in time Amoroim, no one could do that. He could not be this Renaissance man, that all that pertains to man pertains to him. Rav taught us that in the analytical method of Rav Chaim, you need to use facts. You have to have ideas. And the Rav's ideas, unbelievable. His modernity was expected by us in the shiurim. After all, his background allowed for his exposure to all kinds of modern studies of Torah and of Gemara. Never once did he build a shiur on a girse. Never once did he kretch about authorship of something. It was classic Torah, exactly as was said in Brisk. But what he had introduced in the Torah was always the homework. You always realize that Mitzius was clear in his mind. I had the schus to study Nidah and Shabbos with him. Shabbos involved a lot of technology. He considered himself to be a master of electrical theory, electrical engineering. He took upon himself certain piskei halachos, which no one else did, because he understood electricity. In Nida, at the time I was already studying a little bit more intensively biology, and the hours I spent with him making sure that we have an agreement, this is going to be the facts upon which the halacha is based, because he had notions which were based largely upon earlier studies which were not too accurate. I discussed to learn with him Nida twice, 1 year right after the other. And we objected very strongly to learn the same thing again. And he said, trust me, it will not be the same thing. When he started the shiur the second year, he said, I want you to forget everything I told you last year. Now I know pshat. Tell me one Rosh Hashiva that would say a thing like that. But now I learned pshat. Some basic constructs he thought he clarified during his summers, during his nights. Rav was a fabulous masmid. I owe him for the accurate definition of Torah Umada. Nobody knows what Torah Umada really means. You know about synthesis. You put two things together, and what comes out resembles neither Torah nor Mada. There's symbiosis, which is not Torah or Mada either. I used to use that term, symbiosis. Not all symbiosis. In symbiosis, you have a plant and a bacteria, and together they fix nitrogen, symbiotic nitrogen fixation. They take nitrogen from the air and make it into nitrates. There's a plant and there's a bacteria. Never the twain shall be identity. But there is a kind of symbiosis that the Rav introduced me to, and I use that mushal in many, many, many lectures. The symbiosis of the lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N. You see that plant out in the park here on the drive? It looks like a moss, a dry, dry-looking moss. It grows on rocks. It's a plant, it's an organism, absolutely. Under a microscope, you can see it consists of an algae and a mold. The algae fixes carbon dioxide and water to make sugar and provides food for the mold, which cannot make its own food, that has no chlorophyll. And the mold provides a home for the algae, because the algae could not survive on a hot rock. But the mold grows with all its whorls and hyphae and provides a home for it. Sure, there are two separate organisms, but they became one organism. We are separate organisms. We have red blood cells and white blood cells and skin cells and muscle cells. We're made up of composite parts that are different, but altogether it's one human being. Altogether it's one organism called a lichen, because that's how Torah and Mada have to be. Don't tell me Torah contributes to Mada, Mada contributes to Torah. It's one whole organism. Either it's together or it's not Torah. And that's what the Rav used to say in my years in Berlin. People say, my philosophy didn't help my Torah, did my Torah help my philosophy? I don't know what they're talking about. He says, in me it became one organism. That's what it is. That's what comes out. And the more you're going to try to particulate which part is Torah, which part is Mada, you'll end up with a truncated Torah, an amputated Mada. It doesn't work out. He said to me once, you should know, none of the Gedolim failed to study Torah or Mada. Which Adam Godoli said with Paskin Ashayla without knowing what he's talking about. Sometimes they had the Mada waiting and never used it. Sometimes they called it in when they needed it. But of course they had to be there. They went to me, Menachem Mogel, Rav Chaim Salvechik Shlita, the son of the Rav, who's sitting here in Riverdale. He told some Maiselach that he heard from his father. said, you think that the Gedolim study Torah day and night? That's nonsense. Says, the Beis Halevi was apprenticed as a watchmaker. His father wanted him to have a be able to make a living. He was a watchmaker. He began writing Torah at night. They showed Torah around. He got a reputation, so they gave him a job as a Rebbe. Said Rav Chaim didn't have a chance to open up a Gemara all day. He lived in a madhouse. Rav Chaim was a Rav in Brisk, not a Rosh Yeshiva in the Brisk Yeshiva. He was a Rav of the town and bemoaned on his dying day that he ever took the job as a Rav because it didn't let him study properly. Interfered with his ability to learn Torah. All day he had Mishugoyim in and out of his house. They say they would find him in the morning, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning when people began coming to shul, find him sleeping in the chotzer of the shul because he had no koyach to go any further. He just would drop because the only time he could learn was at night. And he would learn until he felt he had to go to sleep, but never made it home. He just fall asleep on the ground. That's the kind of life they led. That's why they were gedolim. In the early 50s, the Rav and Dr. Belkin, both on Erlem Emes, asked me to take a job as a first Rav on North Shore, Long Island, in Great Neck, New York. It was a very important position. There was no Orthodox shul in North Shore, Long Island, and Dr. Belkin felt he needed an entree to be able to raise money among the rich people on North Shore, Long Island. And then Herman Woke, an author, was interested. He was the spearhead. It was a great kehillah. We opened up the second day's Pesach, and I took along with me 6 Talmidim from my high school shiur for the second day Pesach, so we would have a minyan. Give you an idea of the size of the kehillah. There were 3 others besides us. That was the first minyan we held in Great Neck, on top of a squire theater there, and the main thoroughfare there in Great Middle Neck Road. And the Rav, I didn't want to have anything to do with it, but it was a big chance to earn a lot of money finally. Dr. Belkin added to my salary $1,800 a year. Not all at once, it's slow payments. The Rav said to me, you're going to become a Rav, promise me one thing, never buy a sermon manual. If you buy a sermon manual, he says you'll stop to grow. Don't skip Agadat in the Gemara and buy a Medrash Rabbah, you'll have what to say to your Balabatim. That was the Rav's only instruction he gave me. I asked him, how do you make a brocha on this? How do you become a Rav? That was the only instruction he gave me. Don't buy a sermon manual, don't skip Agadat and buy a Medrash Rabbah. That introduced me to Medrash Rabbah, which became a love of my life ever since. The fabulous Gemara in Tainis. Gemara in Tainis and Daf Chof Aleph. Gemara that is supposed to learn with the Rav. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan have a galsa b'oraisa. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were chavrusas, they studied together. The chikil or milsa, they were dying of hunger, plain posh, didn't have what to eat. Amri nekom v'nezel v'neved iska, let's go and do some business. V'nekayim v'nafshan, we should fulfill in ourselves the mitzvah of efes kloyir b'cho evyon. Oslo Osi Tosaguda Rea. They sat under a decrepit bridge. Hava Kokache Rifta. They broke bread, made a piece of bread. Osu Tre Malache Ashores. 2 angels came and they heard what they had said to each other. Let's leave the yeshiva and take a job. And he said, Nishda alayu haigudu benaktilinu. Let's make this bridge fall down on them and kill them. Shemeinichim chai olam haba v'yoskim b'chai isha. Amalei idach, the other angel said, no, shavkinu, let's let him be. Ikubu chad de kaimeli shaita. There's someone whose time has come. Time for godless has come. Rabbi Yochanan Shoma, Rabbi Yochanan heard the angel talk. Ilfa lo Shoma. Ilfa didn't hear. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa Shoma Amar Midi. Did you hear anything? Anything? Amalei lo. Amar Midi Shoma Yano. Since I heard the Ilfa lo Shoma, Shmamino Lididi Kaimil Shaita. It's my move. It's my turn. My time has come. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Yehader. I'm going back. Come back to the yeshiva. Uki ben Avshoyu, kilo yechdal evil mikerav aretz. I'll fulfill myself. There'll always be one poor man, that's me. Rav Yochan Hoda, we're going back to the yeshiva. Ilfa lo Hoda. Adi Yossi Ilfa, by the time Ilfa came back, whatever he was, as we'll see. Molach Rav Yochanan. Ombulo I osiv ma'ar v'goras v'ava molach ma'ar. The people said to Ilfa, had you only stayed around, we never would have made Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Mesifta. You're a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. Amar, Iiko de Shole de Masnita de Ravachia of Ravoshia, Vlo Pshet Pashtina lay mi Masnita, mi Masnison, na Pilna mi Askaria de Svin. I have a Yoshev, Yosek Betora, Hainu Mamlichen Osach, Kemosha Sin Rabbi Yochanan. The Ilfa have gomer tfeimi, Rabbi Yochanan. And so does Rabbi Yochanan on the side, said the same thing. How do you make of this story? Poor, poor Ilfa. Achman, I said, he had it, right? But lost it. Too much Olam Hazeh. He gave up Olam Habor for... There. Nonsense. What I did was try to track down to the Oroch where Ilfa appears in Shas. No place do you find Ilfa quotes Rabbi Yochanan. I found 7 places where Rabbi Yochanan quotes Ilfa. Ilfa was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, remained the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Morgens Wochen darf Frau von Rabbi Yochanan mich made Ilfa. Noch es auf ein Umeischner mit der Kossel a Pinkeser der Ufer. Der Elmeres, how do you know? I found it in the notebook of Ufer. In Yerushalmi in Shabbos, Moshchani, Yerushalmi says, Moshchani, Ufer Behreini. And so on and so on and so forth. What does it say? Because of the immense breadth of Ufer's knowledge, he remained Ufer. To paraphrase what I didn't hear from the Rav, but put it together, what I heard from Rav Chaim, his son. Pick your batola. Battle you will. You become a Rosh Yeshiva, you battle like a Rosh Yeshiva battles. You become a Rav, you have the batola of a Rav. You become a businessman, you have the batola of a businessman. Choose where you battle, but everybody has to battle. there. Nonsense. What I did was try to track down to the Oroch where Ilfer appears in Shas. No place do you find Ilfer quotes Rabbi Yochanan. I found 7 places where Rabbi Yochanan quotes Ilfer. Ilfer was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, remained the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Gemorin zvochem da vchof oma Rabbi Yochanan mishmei di Ilfer. Mnoche zafayin umayshna, mi de kosil a pinkusur de Ilfer. So I asked, how do you know? I found it in the notebook of Ilfer. In Yerushalmi, in Shabbos, Moshchani, Yerushalmi says, Moshchani, Ilfer behreini. And so on and so on and so forth. What does it say? Because of the immense breadth of Ilfer's knowledge, he remained Ilfer. To paraphrase what I didn't hear from the Rav, but put it together, what I heard from Rav Chaim, his son, pick your batola. Battle you will. You become a Rosh Yeshiva, you battle like a Rosh Yeshiva battles. You become a Rav, you have the batola of a Rav. You become a businessman, you have the batola of a businessman. Choose where you battle, but everybody has to battle. Sam Sofer says in the Chiddush of Sam Sofer on Sukkah Daf Lamed Vov, says, you ask me, how can I be mekayim the mitzvah? Und der Tatem kol Eitz Macho, it's a mitzvah to plant in Eretz Yisrael, Torah Mata Heoler, so I'll ask you, he says, and tefillin doesn't take up time? How dare you put on tefillin in Mevatel Torah? What then? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, put on tefillin, that's not called Bittel Torah. I tell you, plant Lahotzi Perosea HaKadoshim, that's called Torah, not Bittel Torah. Yufa said, Rabbi Yochanan became a Rosh Yeshiva. You know how a Rosh Yeshiva battles? Ask Rosh Yeshiva's B'manazeh. Halavai, they can learn as many hours as the Talmidim learn. Yilpa says, I took Batole, I became a businessman. Rabbi Yochanan became a Rosh Yeshiva. Plenty Batole in being a Rosh Yeshiva. But don't you think I gave up Torah for anything? There's a tendency for people to be pigeonholed. Well, he has a doctorate for some doctorate that took away from his learning. This one is a businessman, took away from his learning. Sure, took away from the learning. That's what Torah is. Torah is learning as a businessman, as a rov, as a doctor, as a lawyer. That is the only Torah we know. If you are masmid, you'll find that it's possible to cut back on the batola to a minimum, and find many, many hours to study. And if you're a batalin, there'll be a sach batole that'll come your way. But Ilfer said, I became a businessman, a batalin never. I wrote my pinkusin, and you study them. And that's what we do for the Rav. The Rav spent time in Berlin battling, spent time in Berlin becoming a malamed. A malamed Torah, Lamo Yisrael. I studied Moi Kotten with the Rav. I don't know why, of all the Masechtas I learned with him, that impressed me more than all the others. He showed off more in Moed Katan. The brilliance was too obvious. Sometimes he would hide it, you know, stretched out a shir, he said a shir, a long shir, 2 hours was what the shir started with, and then whatever, however it moved him when he decided to finish. In Moed Katan, I think it's so. I think years later, too, in Avelis, he had a almost inhuman mastery. He understood Avelis well. Let me just sum up one thing and give you maybe you'll appreciate it. I hope you will. The Rav took all of Hilchos Avelis and summed it up in one sentence. One single sentence. Nehugi Avelus displays the loss of personal social esteem. Because you have social esteem because you're a member of a family. When the family unit is broken, you lost social esteem. You are garnished now. And a man who's a garnished tears his clothes and sits on the ground, has no furniture, doesn't bathe and doesn't shave and doesn't take a haircut and doesn't get invited to chasanis. That's the whole story of Avelis. That's the Shulchan Aruch of the Rav. He was able to sum up, and now you'll understand pshat. I remember one of the Nehuvi Avelis is Kfiyas Hamita, one that no longer exists, Bizman Hazeh. In those days, the beds were like our army cots, and you had the posts were higher off the ground, short posts on top. If you turn it upside down, you're closer to the ground. Why? Throughout the world, a rich man sleeps on a high bed, and a poor man sleeps on the ground, on a sleeping bag. I remember some of the places I visited, they had what's called Shakespearean beds, where you walked up on several steps to the bed. In Europe, Ish Mechubad, Rabbi Mechabedim, you gave him to sleep high up. Why? Because heat rises to the top, and therefore it was warmer at night the higher up you were. What happened to Kfiyas Hamita? Our beds, you turn them upside down, you can't use them. They don't have utility. They're not reversible beds. I remember the Rav saying, but don't you think that Kfiyas Hamita died? So I found Kfiyas Hamita. Where? When you take the pictures away, you walk, a minig develops. Says, where's the mocha for such a minig? That in the house of a novel, they take away the pictures of the niftah. The picture of the niftah is not displayed. That's minig Yisrael. Tis why. Tis look, he says in Marikotin Daf Tezvob, Ovel chaye b'kfiyas hamita, d'toni b'kapora, d'mus d'yukni nosati b'hem, I've given you my tzelem elokim, u'bavo noseyem hofachtio, and because of your sin, you turn my image upside down, therefore kofu mitoseyem aleihem, therefore turn your beds upside down. Rashi says, d'mus d'yukni, b'tzelem elokim oses odam. Kfiyas hamita displays the loss of Tzelem Elokim with the death of a man. So what are you doing with this picture outside? Turn the picture upside down, he said. That's Kfiyas Hamita Bizman Hazeh. No one else could see that. That was the Rav's halachic poetry. A poetic soul sensed it right away. A minig develops. Minig has a basis in halacha. Where to develop? In all homes you take away the pictures. Why? Pakel, the man died, leave his picture out. You want to see who he was, not to forget him. No, not during Avelis. During Avelis is the mitzvah Kfiyas Hamita, which means taking away the picture. When the Rav was sitting shiva for his brother Shmuel, I don't know how many of you remember him, Dr. Shmuel, professor of chemistry here, Adam Choshev, a very close friend of mine. He also a tortured soul, a unique personality. I came in with Nachum Ovel the Rav, and he was sitting there then learning Maseches Pesachim. He learned Moed Katan together, one of the Nehugi Avelis's, the Issur of Talmud Torah. I asked the Rav, how come? The Rebbe, why? And he answered, "Bizeh haloshin." You know, Rav Gamliel rochas belayla rishona shemesa ishto. He said, "Istinis ano." He washed the first night. He says there are two kinds of rechitza: as a rechitza shel tainog, and a rechitza shel nikoyon. Rechitza shel nikoyon is muta. For me, even one day is a problem of nikoyon. Istinis ano. I'm an istinis. I'm a fastidious individual. Therefore, it's not a chitza shel tainog, it's a chitza shel nikoyon. That's pshat in the Mishnah. I'm quoting now word for word because I wrote it down in my notes. For a briska, not learning Torah is not oneg, a lack of oneg, it's tsar. Tsar known as mechuyev. The isur of learning Torah is because b'kudei Hashem yishorem is samchilev. So for someone else, he says, to learn Torah is simcha, not to learn Torah is an absence of simcha.
For me, not to learn Torah is a positive tzar that you're not mechuyev even during avelis. First and only time I ever heard him, and last time I ever heard him say something which indicated a new, almost egotistical statement, but no one who was a Talmud of his for any length of time doubted exactly what he said. He was a bundle of nerves, every nerve sensitive to whatever's going on, and that's exactly what he paskened himself, halacha l'maisa. Onen, we paskin eino mevorech. An onen is not permitted to say kriyashma. We paskin that way halacha l'maaseh, no chayim in simin ayin aleph. Onen is not kori kriyashma. He's not mevorech. He's not ona omen. Remember the Rav asking why? We know an onen is supposed to be involved in the kvura, supposed to be totally preoccupied with the kvura. So he can't answer omen on your bracha, that'll take away from his preoccupation. Interfere with his ability to bury the dead because he answers omen when you make a bracha. Said the Yerushalmi, says onen ena mevorech, I think it's two reasons. Mipnei kvodo shel mes, and second reason is because ein lo mi sheyisro maso. There's no one else to take care. He says the big chilik, the two terusim. If it's the aloche, kvodo shomes, kvodo shomes, he said, is I don't answer amen, because God said, forget about me, worry about your dead. It is the not worrying about God that's kvodo shomes. So he said that's the reason. That the Bali Tosis of Chaim was of Chaim Cohen, they forced him to be Mitame Lishto, even though there were other people around. It's the beetle of a kahuna that's kavod shelmes. It is not that it takes up time. The second terror says, oh no, yiso maso, it takes up time. Then what is it? Then why not answer omen? He says, why? Because if you're busy listening where the man made a brocha not to answer omen, then you may forget. As he said, a man will walk by whom you need to help out in the kvura or something, you'll just miss him. So I don't want you to be preoccupied. But if Yeshua Misha Yisumaso, I have a brother who says, okay, you can go daven, I'll stand guard, I'll watch, Yeshua Yisum, then of course, then this one can daven while the other one would stand guard. We passing like the first day in the Rishalmi, that the Tamim Shem Kodosh Shomes, so even though there are many brothers, all apotah from Kriyashma, all apotah from Tefillah. This concept that kvodo shel mes is that God tells you, I am relinquishing you from you all obligations to me, to tell you the chshivus ha'odam. A man died, you forget what it means to be a man. A man that I made b'tzelem elokim, I want you to honor the same as you honor me, and I can only impose it upon you halachically. Neglect me. Similar, he would say, to what Avraham Avinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me, God. I got some achnasas hochim to do. They come first because that's what you taught me. The only way I learn to respect man is if Kadosh Baruch Hu says, go and do it. Avelos teaches us the kavod ha'odam. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, and Perek HaPoel and the Pehei,